Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tram. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tram.
Today we get to learn the halachas of Yichud. This is Siman Kuf Nun Beis, the 152nd chapter in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. The halachas of Yichud mean to say that there's a prohibition. It is a precautionary prohibition for a man and a woman to seclude themselves together. This is called Yichud. We're going to look at five aspects of this, five basic concepts. Who is included? Mitigating Yichud with numbers. Mitigating Yichud with circumstances. Precautions taken and precautions even within marriage. Let's start at the top. Who is included? So who is included in this prohibition of men, a man and a woman who are not married to each other being together? So this it includes Jews and non-Jews and includes old and young alike. So a man and a woman may not be secluded together, alone in a building, alone in a room, if they are young or old, Jewish or non-Jewish. Are there any exceptions? The answer is yes, there are certain relationships which are exceptions, and that is a father and his daughter, a mother and her son, and a husband and his wife, even if she is in a state of nidus. What about siblings? So on an occasional basis, yichud is fine, but a brother and a sister should not rent an apartment together on a fixed basis. What about grandchildren? Grandchildren, there is no concern of yichud under normal circumstances. Are there age exemptions from Yichud laws? And the answer is yes. So a man may be secluded with a girl who's under 3 years old and a woman with a boy under 9 years old. There is no Isser Yichud. Of course, there is a prohibition for any engagement and touch or contact, God forbid. But the prohibition of Yichud per se is not there. What about foster or adopted children? So in such circumstances, Yichud does actually apply because they are not blood relatives. And questions should be asked. This affects mothers when it comes to adopting a son and the fathers when it comes to adopting a daughter. There are certain halachas which have to apply and certain guidelines which need to be there because they are not blood relatives. We move into our second concept, that is mitigating yichud with numbers. Sometimes, if there are enough people, then yichud is not a concern. Let's look at some of those things. So when is yichud permitted with another woman? So if a husband has his wife present, he may be secluded with another woman because the wife will be a chaperone in that case. May a Jewish woman be secluded with a non-Jewish man? In this case, the answer is no, even if his wife happens to be present. This is even if there are many non-Jews with their wives, she may not be secluded with them. What are the guidelines for a woman to be secluded with two or more men? So for a woman, she may be secluded with two men who are considered moral men in the city where people are around and during the day. But if it's in the field or at night, she must be with at least three men who are morally upstanding. If there are men who are perutzim, who are immoral, generally speaking, they have a sliding scale of moral application. Even many, yichud is forbidden unless their wives are present. So it really depends on the circumstance, and these situations need to be judged on a case-by-case basis, and questions should be asked. May a man be secluded with two or more women? That's the other way around. So a man may not be secluded with two women. That's not sufficient. For the woman, it's other way, when it's one woman and two men, and they are during the day in the city, and they're morally upstanding, it's fine. The other way around is not. Some permit yichud with three or more women as long as the person's trade, the man's trade, is not related to women. He's not selling women's garments, women's perfumes, and so on, because then that really breaks down barriers. Others forbid it regardless, and would say that yichud with three or more women is still not allowed as well. Now, the we move to the next concept, which is mitigating yichud. There are two primary permissibilities for yichud, which are very helpful. This affects, of course, when one hires help in one's house. There's a lot of circumstances in which this is true. So let's look at a few examples. If a woman's husband is in the town, does that affect the laws of Yichud? This is called Ba'ala Ba'ir. The answer is yes. If the husband is in town, Yichud is generally permitted. And that means to say that he can walk in at any time. What happens if he's at work? So if he needs to stay at his office every day, so it's a 9-to-5 job and there's a commute, then this leniency does not work because he can't really walk in at any point in time. However, if he's self-employed and he does have the flexibility, then this heter does apply itself even during the day. So let's say the wife is at home and there is a worker who's working in the house. This needs to be considered in terms of the husband's job expectations. When else is yichud mitigated? So yichud is not forbidden if the man and the woman are in a room which is with an open door to a public area during the day or early evening, so as long as people are passing by. So in that case, then it's not considered a private seclusion because people can come in, people can see in at any point in time. That would be allowed. Are there exceptions to these two leniencies? The answer is yes. If the man is an intimate acquaintance, right? So their boundaries have already been broken down. Or if the husband had asked her not to seclude with this particular man because he was concerned. Or if the room, through those open to the public place, is still private enough to raise concern, then it doesn't. So, meaning if it's behind bushes, it's not. You can't see from the street directly in, then it's not that this does not help as well. This requires a lot of planning. It's not so simple. There could be house help. There could be people who come in and out of the house and are there for long extended times. And one has to be careful that one is not engaging in this issur of yichud. What about at the doctor's office? So usually there's a receptionist, there's other patients, and there's other doctors or PAs or nurses, and that's fine. But if one's visiting a doctor and there's no one else there, then in that case, if it is a woman doctor with a man, that's a concern, and vice versa, if it's a woman patient and a male doctor, then there needs to be somebody else there to mitigate this concern. What about in an elevator? So generally speaking, yichud itself is not allowed even for a short period of time. However, the Igros Moshe permits it in the case of an elevator, which is only going to be taking a few seconds. And when it comes to a car is an interesting question because a car is like a room which is publicly visible. But remember that applies itself in an area where people are around and during the day or early evening. So it may be more concerning at late night or on side roads which are very quiet and there's no one around, that might be more concerning. So one has to plan these things out carefully when driving with a man and a woman are driving together and they are not married to each other. There are precautions in halacha that relate to a man's engagement with women, and in order to make sure that there are boundaries, that things don't just slip by the wayside, and we need guardrails even though most people are in control. But one has to be careful because it's very easy for these things to slowly, the boundaries to dissipate. So may a single man teach children? The answer is in halacha, he may not, because he's going to spend time meeting with the parents, and a lot of times moms are the ones who are picking up their children from school. If he's married, his wife need not be present in the school as long as she is in the town, and that's sufficient. May a woman teach children? So only if her husband lives in the town where she teaches, because fathers also bring their children to school, and that's going to create an opportunity of fraternization. Again, this is both directions. But people still do it. So the Rav Moshe Feinstein points out, he justifies that there are many young single moras, and that situation is because there is a lack of teachers, and also the schools generally today are in very public settings and professional communication is appropriate. This should be noted is that when the non-professional communication begins, one should be careful. So teachers just WhatsApping parents makes things more complicated when it comes to this in terms of breaking down barriers. Single women teaching boys 9 years and above could be a problem, and the question needs to be asked. What must men refrain from in order to create boundaries when they are dealing with women they are not married to? So a man is not allowed to gesture or wink or jest or have excess levity with a woman he's not married to. He may not gaze at her beauty. He may not smell perfume that she is wearing or perfume he knows that she wears. And looking at her clothes, gazing at her clothes, even when she's not wearing them, if this is a woman he is not married to, is prohibited. Notice that all these are things which are expected upon a man to curb his lust for women. May one walk behind a woman in the street? This is a question about a man. The answer is no. A man should not be walking behind a woman. A man should try to walk either alongside or in front of her, not to be looking at her while she's walking. What is the law about walking near a house of ill repute? So the halacha is a man may not even enter 4 amos, 7 feet of its doorway. May a woman look at a woman? The answer is, gaze. Even if a man is gazing at a woman, even a small finger, to derive pleasure from her looks, this is considered a very serious avera. What are the precautions? So a man may not listen to a woman sing, nor gaze at her hair, even if she's not married yet. May one show interest or send regards to a woman? So the answer is no. May a man may not even say to her husband, please send my regards. Can one just ask how she is? Yes, that's fine. Asking how she is fine, but sending regards is the problem. What about correspondence? One may greet a woman regularly as a man, as one would normally do. One can send regular salutations in an email, in a text, in a letter. But it's when it becomes more terms of endearing than it would be to a man in the equal state, that is a problem. May a man hug or kiss a relative? So only a father to a daughter and a mother to a son or the grandparents, but not the other relatives are. It is not appropriate to. And this is an important geder, an important precaution as well. Finally, we're going to look at the last topic today, and that is precautions in marriage itself. May a couple who are married show affection in public? And the halacha is no. Intimate conduct should not incur in front of others. That's not appropriate publicly, even though we're in a society which endorses such behavior. May a man live in his father-in-law's house? And the halacha is only if he has a private bedroom. What are some social trends to avoid? The Kitzur in the 1800s is talking about specific trends, but their applicability to today is certainly apt. He pointed out that engaged couples should not be touching one another. Number one is a woman before marriage has not gone to the mikveh, therefore she's in a state of nidus, and therefore they are not allowed to touch. And more than that, it also will lead to shichvas zera levatala, spilling of seed unnecessarily, and it will certainly lead to further averus as well. The Kitzur also decries mixed dancing between young men and young women, and the complications this leads to. He advises that all parents should set the tone by not allowing their children, their teens, to go and attend such gatherings. If a couple are engaged, may the engaged couple look at each other? And the answer, of course, this is generally a man-to-woman concern more than the other way around, but a young man should look absolutely at his intended, but not with lustful intent. He should not be thinking of her as an object. He should be thinking of her as a person, and that's a world of difference. May a divorced couple live with each other in the same area? So the general concern is that because there was a familiarity in this relationship, an intimate familiarity, therefore the boundaries are lowest, therefore extra precautions are taken. They cannot live with each other in the same courtyard. So if she owns this apartment building, he may not be in it. If she owns it, he must leave as well. Greater distance is required if she was remarried and was divorced again. In open alleys, so let's say it's a mavoya mufulash, then that's fine. It's like across the street, that's all right. May a man support his ex-wife? Yes, he must support his ex-wife. And that comes before supporting any other people who are impoverished. But the personal contact should be limited so that they're not going to come into a situation where she's in a case of need and she's depending on him and that may be leveraged for favors. It's not appropriate in such a situation. So set up in a professional manner so that it's not hand to hand. May one sleep in the same room as a married couple? So the Kitzur quotes Rav Beruna, who says this is forbidden. Rav Yosef says this applies even if the man and the woman are in the stage of the month where it's nidus. It's inappropriate for anybody to sleep in the same room as a married couple. All of these are great and important precautions, and sometimes people scoff at them, and sometimes people say this is so yesteryear. But unfortunately, we know that the rule is Ein apitropos la'arayas. There's no one who is safe when it comes down to the concerns of moral boundaries being broken and relationships and commitments being broken. And therefore, one has to take great precautions when it comes to these things. Halacha is still very, very much relevant. And the applicability is something which helps us safeguard our marriages, helps us safeguard our relationships. Have a wonderful meeting.